Again, we're speaking on 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 9. This will be our fourth sermon on this text. And I pray that it be a blessing to you as you meditate upon God's Word. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 9. He says, "Who has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to His own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began." May we pray. Gracious Father, as we bow in Thy presence, pray that the Holy Spirit will speak to our hearts. Open up the Word, touch our hearts. So many times, Lord, we are a dull of hearing. So many times our hearts are cold. Pray that You will just bless us this morning with Thy presence. And we give You the praise and the honor and the glory. In Jesus' name we give thanks. Amen. If you've been following along on this chapter, it's in this verse. It's a beautiful, beautiful description of the free grace of God. Just for a little review, who has saved us. I'm glad that there's only one Savior, and it's Jesus Christ. The church does not save. Pastors do not save. Elders do not save. The Lord Jesus is the one who saves His people from their sins by His sacrifice. Where do we look to be saved? We look to Jesus Christ. We look to Jesus Christ. And called us with a holy calling. And it's wonderful to experience that holy calling. As I brought out it before, it's a heavenly calling. It's a birth from above. We've been born from above. That word again means from above in John chapter 3. We're born from above, a holy calling, because God's the one that does the calling. Amen. And everything God does is holy. It's a holy calling. And it's effectual calling. It's encouraging to ministers, to myself, I'm sure to Brother Roger and Brother Dave and others who preach, and Mark as he preaches, that knowing that God will effectually call His people. We don't have to worry about the pews being just right, like in some churches. We don't have to be concerned whether a baby cries in the church. In some churches, they're so afraid that a person's going to hell because the baby cries in the church and misses them from hearing the gospel, and they don't make a decision for Christ. Beloved, that's all based on the works of man. God will save His people at the appointed time. That's why we believe in effectual calling. I believe we should be a witness of the free grace of God. I believe we should testify of the free grace of God. I think we should go forth and preach the gospel to every creature, knowing that God is the one who calls His people out of darkness into His marvelous light. That's the blessing we have, knowing this. Paul said, "I do all things for the elect's sake." As we witness, there's a guarantee that some will hear, because God has His elect scattered abroad. And that's the joy of being a witness, of testifying of the grace of God, that God might use you or me as an instrument to bring someone who's been born again from above to a conversion experience in Jesus Christ. And that's one of the great things about effectual calling. And then we look not according to our works. And this is something that we'll be reemphasizing this morning in the next and fourth part of this message. Works. Our works in ourselves are filthy rags, Isaiah says. All our works are as filthy rags. Now, we do believe in good works, but those good works are only associated with Jesus Christ. Good works come from Christ. Evil works come from Adam. Evil comes from the fallen nature which we have in Adam, the new nature, the new man, the new creation. Paul says, "I can do all things through Christ. I can do good works only through my union with Jesus Christ through the Holy Spirit." Amen. Then it brings us down to the last part of that verse. Not according to our works, but according to His own purpose. God has a purpose in everything that He does. And grace. I want to mention this. Again, Paul is emphasizing in this verse, he just mentioned before that there it's not according to our works. Then he reemphasizes here, but according to His purpose and grace. Amen. He knows we're thick-headed. You know, sometimes God has to really say things a few times for us to sink in. And the Lord, when He talked, sometimes He would repeat things because He knew the dullness of our hearing. He spoke to our hearts. He speaks to our hearts. Here He says, according to His purpose and grace. Grace. What is grace? It's unmerited favor of God. You cannot merit it by your doings or works or deeds. It's all by the free grace of God. Thank God for that. Thank God for that. And here's the second part of that verse, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. Now that has so much to it. You know, as I've been reading and studying this verse and these thoughts, I said, boy, here's another sermon, here's another sermon, here's another sermon. God doesn't offer Christ, He gives Christ.
Amen.
He doesn't offer the new birth, He gives the new birth. That comes in effectual calling. He comes in conversion experience. Regeneration, as we've seen before, the washing and regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost. Which is given us in Christ before the world began. And why does God emphasize so many times before the world began or before the foundation of the world? To strip man of his self-righteousness.
Amen.
Where was you and I before the world began? Only in the mind and purpose of God. We couldn't say, well, you know, I persuaded the Lord to do this and I persuaded the Lord to do that. No, we were dead in trespasses and sins. Now we're going to look at the part, His purpose. Romans 8:28 says, and we know that all things work together for good. As we've said many times, we're not saying that sin is good. We must be careful to maintain God's purity and holiness. But at the same time, as they've used the illustrations of Joseph when he was sold into Egypt and all the things that happened to Joseph, Joseph said before his brothers, you meant it for evil, God meant it for good. In other words, God's sovereignty and providence controls everything coming into our lives. And we don't understand some of those things. And sometimes we say, why? I have. I don't know about you. I've said, why, Lord? But ultimately, God knows the end from the beginning. He knows everything. So He knows things about us that we don't know. And He's working even those things which seem to be against us. Like Jacob says, all is against me. My one son is dead, talking about Joseph. My other son is going to be kept in Egypt. All things are against me. But he didn't realize that all things were working together for Jacob's good and his family, for Israel. And those lessons are recorded for our own learning and for our own comfort and hope in times of trial and tribulation. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God. There's the key to them that love God and to them who are the called according to His purpose. How do you know that you love God or not? You know, the Pharisees and Sadducees gave lip service to love God. Jesus said in John chapter 14, I believe if a man love me, he will do what? He will keep my commandments. I think an evidence of love for Christ is obedience to Christ and following Christ. Apart from that, anyone can say, I love the Lord. We can say we love the Lord, and our hearts can be far from Him. So the key to this, do you love the Lord? Are you willing to obey the Lord and follow Him? That's a sign of a changed heart. In Romans chapter 9:11, we see, for the children being not yet born, neither having done any good or evil, that the purpose of God, here we see the purpose of God, according to election, might stand not of works, but of Him that calleth. It's either by grace or it's by works. It's either by grace or by works. And God says election is called the election of grace. Hallelujah. That removes all works from it. Removes all works. We also see in the book of Ephesians chapter 1 verse 11, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of Him. See, God does everything but purpose. There is no chance with God. You know, we look at things, well, that happened by chance, or that was an accident. God knows the end from the beginning. He doesn't look down through time to see what's going to happen because He already knows what's going to happen. That's a great God whom we serve. He knows the end from the beginning. Yes, that's hard for us to comprehend. How can any, even God, know everything and never learn anything? Because He's omniscient. He knows the past. He knows the present. He knows the future. Everything is present with God. Yes, that blows our minds, doesn't it? The absolute greatness of our God whom we serve. But He does things according to His purpose. Predestinated according to the purpose of Him who worketh all things after the counsel of His own will. He works all things after the counsel of His own will. He does everything according to His knowledge and will. He knows all things. Aren't you glad that God, no wonder the scripture Paul said, if God be for us, who can be against us? Yes, we have many adversaries according to Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10, 11, and 12. We read of those against us, against us, against us, against us. Yes, there's evil against us. But ultimately, no one can be ultimately against us because God is for us. And Paul emphasizes in Ephesians chapter 3, verse 11, according to the eternal purpose. This didn't begin in time, your salvation. Your names being written in the Lamb's Book of Life didn't begin when you believed. You believed because your name was written in the Lamb's Book of Life before you ever came along and I ever came along. See, a lot of people want to get the cart before the horse. They want to have God doing everything based upon what you do. God elected you because you believed, or God blesses you because you do this. No, it's all because of God's mercy. God's a sovereign God. And Paul says, not of him that willeth, of him that runneth, but of God that showeth mercy. Now, a lot of people don't like that. And if we'll be honest, sometimes we might question it in our own depraved nature. But ultimately, we have to bow to the sovereignty of God, say, Lord, thy will be done. Because sometimes we have tender spots for our children. If we didn't, it'd be something wrong with us. We're concerned about the salvation of our children, the salvation of our grandchildren, the salvation of those around us, our friends. But ultimately, we must remember salvation is in the hands of God. Amen. Yes. And as He told Abraham, won't God of all the earth do right? I know sometimes that's hard for flesh and blood to receive, but we must bow to the sovereignty of God. Here's the language of Job. Job said in Job 23:13, but he is in one mind, and who can turn him? And what his soul desireth, even that he doeth. No one can resist God's power. When God gets ready to bring a king down, He brings him down. When God gets ready to set up a king, He sets him up. God is the one who's ruling this universe. Isaiah says it like this in Isaiah 46, 9 through 11. Remember the four things of old, for I am God and there is none else. I am God and there is none like me, declaring the end from the beginning and from ancient times, the things that are not yet done, saying, my counsel shall stand, I will do all my pleasure. Calling a ravenous bird from the east, the man that executeth my counsel, from a far country, yea, I have spoken it, and I will also bring it to pass. I have purposed it, and I also would do it. You see, God working in according to His purpose and will. Everything, beloved, is falling out just like the Lord accomplished it. We speak of the providence of God in the sense of the world. There's things that God, by His providence, suffers to happen that we don't understand. We don't understand our trials and temptations sometimes, but God suffered those things to happen. God's purposes include both the end and the means. Or His will is executed by means, brought to pass by means. God uses means, though He eternally purposed things before the world began. We're going to look at some of those things this morning. Some are chosen to salvation, as we see in Ephesians 1:4. According as He has chosen us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love. 2 Thessalonians 2:13, but we are bound to give thanks always to God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord. God hath in the beginning chosen you to salvation Some people say, well, God didn't choose the salvation. He only chose for service. No, this verse says, God chose you to salvation. To salvation. And this is the eternal purpose of God as we look to this. And it is such a blessing. And for all of those whom He chose to salvation were chosen to be redeemed by the Lord Jesus Christ. Notice in 1 Corinthians 1:30. But of Him are you in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom, righteousness, and sanctification, and redemption. Everyone who was chosen were also predestinated by the end, the means of Jesus Christ's redemptive work to redeem us from our sins. God didn't just pass over our sins and not deal with them. He dealt with our sins. He had a representative. He had a substitute. His name was the Lord Jesus Christ, who is our representative. He imputed our sins to Jesus, to His Son, to die as our substitute, to be our Redeemer. We were chosen. We fell in Adam. Jesus said, told the Father, I'll go and die for them. He came in, and by His death, by the means of death, He redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. So we see all those that was chosen were redeemed by the Lord Jesus Christ. Also in Ephesians 1:7, it says, to whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of His grace. What brings redemption? God's grace. And Paul adds another adjective in there, the riches of His grace. The riches of His grace. Paul says in Colossians 1:14, in whom we have redemption through His blood. We sung that song, what can wash away my sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Redemption through His blood, even the forgiveness of sins. Without the shedding of blood, there is no what? There's no forgiveness of sins. The blood is what cleanses from sin. It pacified the wrath of God. It satisfied the justice of God. And we stand complete in Jesus Christ. Beloved, just think for a moment. If we had to give an account for our sins in our own body, or give account for every sin that we've committed, there'd be hope for none of us. We'd all be condemned. But thank God there was an advocate with the Father. There's a mediator with the Father. We had a high priest with the Father. There was a sacrifice. That sacrifice was Jesus Christ. He became our sacrifice. He became our curse. He redeemed us by His blood that our sins can be forgiven. That's why it says in the book of John, if we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Who's He being faithful to? To His Son. His Son's death. His Son died to redeem us. And on behalf of that, God forgives us. Now, we don't deserve it. We don't earn it. We don't merit it. It was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began, as we're going to see. But beloved, we see redemption. Redemption follows being chosen to salvation. And one more verse to go along with that. Neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by His own blood, He entered in once into the holy place, having obtained what? Eternal redemption for us. What does that mean? In the purpose and mind of God, it's an eternal blessing, not a temporary blessing. Under the old covenant, those sacrifices was repeated every year, the Day of Atonement, until the sacrifice came, who was Christ. Once He offered His sacrifice once and for all, it's never to be repeated again. Amen. We're eternally redeemed. Glory to God, Brother Dave. Amen. Eternally redeemed, never to go under sin again. We've been bought out of the slave market and will never return to the slave market. We've been redeemed from the corrupt things of this world, and we are under the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Thirdly, we see that we're chosen to salvation. Those who were chosen to salvation are redeemed in time. Those who were redeemed are chosen to be regenerated by the work of the Holy Spirit in time. This is all following God's purposes. This is not happening. None of these things happen by chance. That's what I want you to see this morning. God works all things according to His purpose and will when it deals with our salvation. So we must say with Jonah, salvation is of the Lord. And He has lost none. Everyone who was chosen will be redeemed. Everyone who's been redeemed will be regenerated. We'll see this in John 3:8. The wind bloweth where it listeneth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh and whither it goeth. So is everyone that is born of the Spirit. Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy He saved us. Mercy saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost. So we see then that every blood-bought child of God will be regenerated by God's grace. By God's grace. Now we come to see that all of those whom He has chosen, redeemed, regenerated, are chosen to believe in Jesus Christ. If we stop at regeneration, we stop too short. There's a lot of people who want to preach regeneration for God's people, but they don't want to preach belief to God's people. I believe God is as much the author of believing as He is the author of regeneration. He doesn't believe for me, but He gives me the ability to believe. Let's listen to the Word of God. We were chosen to be regenerated, are chosen to believe in Jesus Christ. Now, I believe the Word of God is clear on this, in my mind. Acts 13:48 says, "And when the Gentiles heard this, they were glad, and glorified the Word of the Lord. And as many as were ordained to eternal life," they were ordained in the purpose of God to eternal life. The same God had ordained them to eternal life purpose that they would do what? Believe. Believe. Who would they believe in? In the Lord Jesus Christ. Believe. So you can see the purpose of God, the end and the means. The means is God's ordained us to life. He gives us regeneration. For what purpose? To believe in Jesus Christ, His Son. He also says in 2 Thessalonians 2:13, we read this earlier, "But we are bound to give thanks always to God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord." See how he puts that love in there? Beloved of the Lord. Because God from the beginning chose you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit, which I believe is regeneration, and belief of the truth. Belief of the truth. How do we come? It says, "Faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the Word of God." As we preach the truth, the Holy Spirit has regenerated you. God gives you that ability to lay hold of the preaching of the gospel and believe in Jesus Christ. Repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. God is the one that works in you, both the will and the do of His good pleasure. It's not a chance. So many people think, well, it's just a chance. If you will believe. Effectual calling basically is working in the realm of conversion. I believe effectual calling deals with the conversion experience through hearing the preached gospel. God will give you the ability to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Here's a verse that goes along with that. Then I'm going to read another one. Acts 18:27 says, "And when he was disposed to pass into Achaia, the brethren wrote, exhorting the disciples to receive him, who when he was come, helped them much, which had believed through grace." Now, if you're a believer this morning, how did you believe? Through grace. By the grace of God, Paul says, "I am what I am." Also, there's the verse in Ephesians chapter 1. I just want to read this to you. And we'll read a couple of these verses. Verse 18 says, "The eyes of your understanding being enlightened," that's the work of the Spirit, "that you may know what is the hope of His calling, and what the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of His power to usward," talking to the family of God, "who believe," notice this, "who believe according to the working of His mighty power." How do you believe? By free will? By the power of self-will? Nope. You believe according to the working of His mighty power. And that is still talking about the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost prepares you and gives you the ability to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Yes, we believe. God doesn't believe for us. But God is the one who's working behind the scenes by His effectual power. It came not in word only, but in power and demonstration of the Holy Spirit. That's what the Word needs today. If we preach the gospel, it needs the demonstration and power of the Holy Spirit for our individual to believe in saving faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. It takes the power of God unto salvation. This is not something that happened by chance. It's something that happened by the purpose and will and mind of God. He brings it to pass in time. As many as were ordained to eternal life believed.
What follows that?
Those who were chosen to believe are chosen to be holy. That means God doesn't save you that you can walk around and be sinful, ungodly, and wicked and live like the devil and just go on your merry way. No, God chooses people. He calls people. He regenerates them. He brings them to conversion experience that they'll follow Christ and a separate walk with God. Holy means to be set apart. We're set apart as God's people. We've been set apart. As we read earlier in Ephesians 1:4, according to He has chosen us in Him before the foundation of the world that we should be what? Holy and without blame before Him in love. That we should be set apart. When you come to join the Church of the Living God, you're setting yourself apart from the world. And you're positive setting yourself to the Lord Jesus Christ to serve Him in His local assembly of saints. That's being set apart for the Lord Jesus Christ. To be set apart. And to be without before Him in love. Without blame. How can we be without blame? I think there's a couple ways. By separating ourselves from the world through obedience to His Word. That keeps us without blame in that sense. Secondly, we're without blame because we're always constantly under the blood of Jesus Christ. His blood is always cleansing us from all sin. If it wasn't, we could never partition the throne of grace by mercy. The Bible says that we have a throne of grace that we may go to, and because of that throne of grace, we go before that throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. We're always receiving that cleansing power of the blood, always receiving that manifestation to us. We stand complete in Christ. Now, if I look within myself, I see evil, I can see wickedness, I can see my sins, I can see what I am within myself. But if I look to Christ, I see what I am in Christ. It's according to where you look. If you look to your fallen nature, what do you see? Corruption. You look to the new man, which created righteousness and holiness, you see purity. And many times, Satan will get us to focus so much on our old self, so much on our past sins, to bring us down, to discourage us. We must remember, as Paul says, forgetting those things which are behind, forgetting that past life. It's all under the blood. It's been cleansed. It's been forgiven. It's been set up. You've been set apart from that. You've been cleansed from that. Look to Christ. Look to Christ. You stand complete in Christ. Our standing and our state. That's two different sermons. Our standing is complete, and in our state we can see ourselves not complete in ourselves as we should be. That is day is coming. But also Paul mentions in Ephesians 2:10, for we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. God ordained that we should walk in good works. A person who never walks in good works is saying what? They never believed. They were never regenerated. And as far as the evidence is concerned, they never were chosen. There's a time of manifestation that we don't know of a person whether they were chosen or not chosen because it hadn't been manifested yet. But once a person makes a profession of faith in Christ and follows Christ, there should be an evidence. God says He ordained work that we should walk in them. There should be things that we should be walking in. It's God. We should love the family of God. That's a good work, the fruit of the Spirit. We should love the Word of God. That's one of the fruits of the Spirit. We should love God's Word. We should love prayer. We should be on our knees crying out to God for one another, as Dave mentioned this morning. We should be praying one for another. We should be interceding for each other because we need each other. We all need prayer. We need for God to do bless us in our life. He says, also in verse Hebrews 13:20 and 21, now the God of peace that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, the great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you perfect in every good work to do His will, working in you. God is working in you that which is well-pleasing in His sight. How many times when we're being blessed and we're doing things and we really are serving the Lord that we forget to say, Lord, thank You because You're working in me those things that are pleasing in Your sight instead of us taking the glory for it. Oh, don't we like to take the glory sometimes? Oh, we like to give ourselves the praise. But, beloved, if we're being blessed to read the Word, we're studying, we have a part of prayer, we have a heart to be in the church of God, let us bow and say, Lord, thank You for working that in my heart and life. To do that, which is against my fallen nature. But it's a work. You're working in me according to the new nature, which has been regenerated in holiness. So remember, working in you that which is well-pleasing in His sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. Those that were chosen to be holy are chosen also to persevere in faith. I believe that all God's people will persevere in faith. I don't believe none of them will be lost. There's some teach today that God's people can fall from grace. They can lose their salvation. I believe that all of God's people will persevere unto the end. Paul says in Hebrews 10:39, "But we are not of them who draw back unto perdition, but of them that believe into the saving of the soul." That's how Paul put it. Believe to the saving of the soul. Philippians 1:6 says, being confident. Paul has some confidence in this. Of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. He which hath begun a good work will perform it. He will complete it. He will finish it until the day of Jesus Christ. Well, thank God for that. And the God of peace, 1 Thessalonians 5:23, and the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. And I pray, God, your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless until the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Faithful is he that calleth you who will also do it. I believe that this says in 1 Peter 1:5, we're kept by the power of God unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last day. We're being kept. You can't keep yourself, beloved. If God turned you over to yourself, you would do every corruptible thing in the world that others do. Only by the grace of God can we stand against the evil world that's around us. Only by God's grace can we walk and live a separated life. And this last thought, all the ones whom God chose to persevere are chosen to be glorified in the resurrection. Paul says in Romans 8:29, for whom he did foreknow or forelove, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son. That's the ultimate ends of God's means or purpose, is that we'll be perfectly conformed one day to the image of God's Son, without blemish and without spot, no sin, no wickedness. We will be perfect like Christ. We will be in the righteousness of Christ. We're all are longing for that day, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called. These are all in the past tense, showing in God's purpose is as good as complete. Everyone predestinated was called. Everyone who was called was justified. Everyone who was justified is already glorified in the purpose and mind of God. And God is bringing these things to pass. One day he's coming again. Our bodies will be resurrected. We'll have a new body, a resurrected body. We'll be called up into glory. And then when it's finished, we'll sing the praises of God as it sings about in the book of Revelation. We'll say, unto him be the glory and the power and the grace. To him be all the glory, as it speaks about in Revelation chapter 4 and verse 11. To God be the glory. All things were created for his honor and for his glory. One day we will praise him in a body without sin. We sing today. We listen today. But there's one thing that hinders us. The weakness of the flesh. The depravity of our nature still. Wandering thoughts. Satan. Demons, all these things of the world, the cares of this world, hinders our true worship with God. God wants us to worship him in spirit and truth, and we do that the best of our ability. But all of us must confess that we all are hindered at times from worshiping with all our heart and with all our soul and with all our mind because we still are in this body of flesh. We're still here. But one day, as we stand before God in that glorified body, without sin, without blemish, and without spot, we'll be able to sing and worship God in spirit and in truth. Not according to His purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ before the world began. Not works, but God's purpose and grace. I just want to mention a few thoughts on grace as we get into this. We just finished the word purpose, and there's much more I could have said on that. I just want to feed you and get your mind stirred up to get into things. Now I want you to think about grace. Grace. John 1:14. Sometimes we read verses and we go right over them. And the Word was made flesh. That's talking about the Lord Jesus Christ. And dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father. Notice this. full of grace and truth.
What was he full of?
Grace. Is the God-man mediator, he was full of grace and truth. Notice verse 16. And of his fullness, out of his fullness, have all received what? Grace for grace. We receive his grace into our hearts out of his fullness. Where does grace come from? It comes from our union with Jesus Christ. That's why the phrase in Him is so important in the Scriptures. So important. I'll have a sermon on that later on, just on that thought. Full of grace and truth. We have received grace for grace. Now we received it because it was given in power and demonstration of the Holy Spirit. It was not offered. God doesn't offer grace that you can refuse or accept. He gives it. And He gives it effectually in power and demonstration of the Holy Spirit. That's why Paul says in Romans 3:24, being justified freely, that word freely means without cause. Being justified without cause. How? By His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. Everything of salvation is always emphasized in or through Christ Jesus. Hallelujah, what a Savior. 5:15 says in Romans, but not as the offense, so also is the free gift. For if through the offense of one many be dead, much more the grace of God and the gift by grace. I love the way God puts that. The grace of God and the gift by grace, which is by one man, Jesus Christ, has abounded unto many. Not to all, but to many. Those chosen before the world began. Hallelujah for the grace that's in Christ Jesus. Now, if you want to get the parallel to this, you can just go read John chapter 6 when he speaks about all the Father gave me shall come to me. Him that cometh to me I would nowise cast out. He said, I've lost none. And he said, all which the Father gave me I'll raise it up at the last day. All those that were given to him in the covenant of grace. And that's a great study. I hope by God's grace to bring a message on that the next Sunday that I preach on the covenant of grace. He goes on to say, in chapter 12, verse 6 of Romans, having then gifts differently. We each one have different gifts. Mark has a different gift. Roger has a different gift. Dave has a different gift. I have a different gift. Jay would have a different gift. Bill. Each one of us in the church of God, Jeremiah, we all have a different gift. And we shouldn't be jealous of each other's gifts. If Roger gets up and preaches sometimes in the power and demonstration of the Spirit, and sometimes I get up and I feel like I haven't preached at all, I should be thankful for what God does through Roger. Not jealous, not envious, but say, thank you, Lord, that you're blessing us at times in our ministry. You're blessing us in the church. Sometimes it could be myself, or it could be Mark, or it could be Dave. It could be each one of us. There's times when we are blessed by the Spirit of God beyond measure, on the way I can put it. Other times we feel so cold ourselves, we don't know if we've even preached or not. But we still are to be faithful to the command of God. Paul told Timothy, preach the word in season, out of season. That's our responsibility. Preach the word. Now, looking back at grace. Having then gifts differently according to the grace that is given to us. It's given. It's given to us. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 1:4, I thank God always on your behalf for the grace of God which is given you by Jesus Christ. Where does grace come from? It comes by, through, in Jesus Christ, out of His fullness. The Holy Spirit takes that fullness, the grace in Christ, and He gives it to us in regeneration. Grace. Oh, the grace of God. I love this verse too, 2 Corinthians 9:8. And God is able to make all grace abound toward you. All grace. There's times in my life when I'm really maybe fighting those things that we don't understand. You're in a conflict. You're going through a trial. Those are times you, boy, you need all the grace you can get. Amen, Brother Paul, Mark. We need all the grace that we can get. I know I do. And I thank God for that grace. There's keeping grace and preserving grace. And Paul said there's sufficient grace. We're going to come to that in the next section. 2 Corinthians 12:9, he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee. For my strength Notice this. Jesus says, my grace and my strength is made perfect in what? Your weakness. When I'm weak, when I'm nothing, you can be something. And if you're something, you can be nothing. You're nothing. We must always realize that we're totally dependent upon God's grace, even after salvation. And we're always totally dependent upon God's strength to deal with the situations of life. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. This is something we only learn by experience. But unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. To every one of us, grace is given according to the measure of the gift of Christ. In closing, Paul says, the Lord says in Revelation 22, verse 21, the last verse of the last chapter of the book of Revelation, it says, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. The what? The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. It says in Ephesians 1:3 that we are blessed with spiritual blessing in heavenly places were in Christ. Every blessing that we receive, it was in Christ, then it comes to us. We should be grateful. And then the next time we meet, I'm going to be speaking on this last phrase, giving us in Christ before the world began. Paul says in 1 Timothy 1:14, and the grace of the Lord was exceedingly abundant with faith and love, which is in Christ Jesus. In Christ Jesus. Now the God of peace that brought again from the dead the Lord Jesus, our Lord Jesus, the great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant. The everlasting covenant is so important that we understand in union with Jesus in Christ. Everything is by union with Christ. No one outside of Christ will be brought into the covenant. That's why it's so important. What we believe is important. It's a foundation of truths. Election is a foundation of truth. We were chosen in Him before the foundation of the world. This is not just a theological term. It's emphasizing that anyone who's not in that election, everyone not in that in Christ, will never be redeemed, will never be regenerated, will never believe. They will be reprobates. They will follow the world. They'll lust. They'll love the world. They'll hate Christ. They'll hate the things of God. It's an evidence that they're not born of God. Evil works is an evidence of reprobation. That doesn't mean that we're going to be perfect, but it means that we don't follow a path of wickedness. Wickedness. I've just touched the hem of the garment to say on this subject, and I pray that the next Lord's Day when I preach that you will pray for me as I preach on the everlasting covenant, as I preach on the new covenant in the New Testament, and bring this, tie this in with the last phrase of 2 Timothy 1:9, we in Christ, in Christ. Study that out. Take your concordance and look the word in Christ, in Jesus, in Him, and see how many times it's repeated over. Everything about our redemption is associated with Christ. May we pray. Our gracious and loving Father, as we bow in Thy presence, we thank You for the Word of God, which is able to build up our souls, strengthen us, and give us that faith to overcome the world. We thank You for the Lord Jesus. We thank You, Father, for Your eternal purpose, which You purpose in Christ Jesus. Thank You for the ministry of the Holy Spirit, which brings these things in demonstration of power into our lives, quickens us, calls us by Your effects or calling, brings us to conversion experience in Christ, and gives us the strength to obey and follow Jesus. And Lord, as You bring forth fruits in our lives of repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ, we thank You now for the service. Pray that You bless each one here. In Christ's name, we do offer our thanks and praise. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Does someone have a song in closing?